Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Welcome back to the very first session of the second days of the two international conference. As a host, I'll just speak for 2-3 minutes because from yesterday onwards, though I was in the chair in the inaugural function and subsequently I chaired a session as well, but due to paucity of time, I could not speak, so I reserved my right to speak yesterday, but I thought I'll speak and share some of the points which I had in from the yesterday's discussion, and today I wanted to share with you. General impression, particularly in the Asian countries, when you talk about the international criminal law, whether it's academicians, judges or lawyers, they always come out with the argument, you know, we have our own internal problem, there is a lot of conflict, so this issue will come before the International Criminal Court. Thus, we should not become party of the International Criminal Court because we have a lot of international issues, there are a lot of conflicts going on, and they are hesitant to become party of the International Criminal Court. But that is not the correct interpretation of the Rome Statute. So Rome Statute has sufficient safeguards. So any international treaty which has appeared, there are a lot of negotiation exercise and interest of the states have been incorporated. If you take an example of the Rome Statute, which identifies under the Article 5, there are universal crimes. But when we talk about the jurisdiction, it's not universal. So there was like a lot of argument among the states. So crimes are universal, but jurisdiction is complementary. So complementary principles in the preamble, there are three places complementary nature of the court jurisdiction is mentioned. It happened largely because of the state. And then also, it recognizes the primacy of the national judicial system. When we start comparing the success and failure of the International Criminal Court by numbering the cases, so court has, like Professor Ranbir Singh has mentioned yesterday, we are spending huge amount of money on the International Criminal Court. But we must appreciate this court which has come into existence after much exercise, and this was the concern expressed by the international community, and to punish those who are responsible for committing heinous crimes. And in like many speakers discussed yesterday about the ad hoc tribunals, and finally we came to the International Criminal Court. So safeguards are there for the state's interest. It's not like immediately, if states are taking care of the crimes committed in their own territories, things will be better. I don't think in Indian cases will immediately go to the International Criminal Court. There are independent judiciary, we have sufficient competent judges sitting in the court. So I doubt that anything in Indian context, court case will go there. Then another important point which I disagree with the Morton, he gave a very good example about the biscuit and cake. So he wanted the list has to be increased. So there was in the debate time this preparatory work, that time the list was there. India wanted number of the crimes to be listed and the other states have also. But it was very difficult to narrow down and agreeing on the which crimes should be actually heinous crimes on the list of the international crimes. So three they agreed and fourth they left for the review conference which has finally in the Kampala, and still it has not come, which I was under impression that 1st January 2017 after getting required ratification, crime of aggression will become part of the Article 5 of the, but Morton has mentioned that it has not entered into force till date. Terrorism, there was a convention which was adopted by the League of Nations in 1937, and British India was the only party which talks about the establishment of some kind of international criminal court. British India was the only country ratified which treaty never came into existence. So that time, members of the Indian freedom fighters, they were not agreeing for this kind of convention, but today terrorism has become a big issue for the India. India wants to be terrorism as listed as the international crimes, which has not been. But whatever the crimes have been identified or incorporated after much exercise, I think if it continues for coming years, and there is always a scope for, but we must not rush to increase the list of the crimes under the Article 5 or any other places there. The most common criticism of the International Criminal Court, which is it has become African Criminal Court. That is the, from wherever you go, whatever platform you speak, people say, you know, all the cases are from the Africa. That is true. There are 10 cases where investigation is on. There are 10 cases investigation is on. And as gentleman yesterday mentioned, Georgia was the recent. So the one case from the other continent has come. Georgia has been added in the list of the 10 cases. But if you look into the list of the cases, large number of cases are referred by the state parties. State chose to go to the International Criminal Court. Neither prosecutor nor security council. So large number of cases are referred by the states. If a government decides to go to the international court, jurisdiction can be triggered by the state parties. So if a state decides to refer, so it's not into prosecutor has brought the cases, except two cases till date. That is Kenya and Mali. There are two cases which has been brought by the prosecutor before the. So prosecutor has proprio motu power to invoke the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, but he is equally careful, taking note of the sentiments of the states. If he start bringing the cases before the International Criminal Court, then functioning of the court will be always questioned. So he is very careful. He wants, like, the prosecutor's office of the prosecutor is very careful and takes not only the legal position, it also takes note of the diplomatic situation, relations between the states, and thus in very limited way prosecutor use this particular power. And two cases has been referred by the Security Council. Rest of the cases has been referred by the state party. So state is responsible. And now the another important withdrawal. There are three states, South Africa, Gambia, and Burundi. They have withdrawn. They issued the notification, withdrawal notification in 2016. So there is a possibility, because Article 127 of the Rome Statute speaks about the withdrawal. A state can withdraw from the Rome Statute. So there's no problem. It's nothing has happened. So three states have send a notification to the Secretary General of the United Nations that they withdraw from the, and this withdrawal will become active after, like, effective after the 1 year of the completion of the notification. Interestingly, I think South Africa and Gambia has withdrew its notification of withdrawal. So effectively only one state has withdrawn. So we should not generalize the problem with the functioning of the International Criminal Court. We should not also, success and failure of the International Criminal Court should be assessed on the basis of how many cases it's addressing. It's not the court of, like, you know, High Court of the Indian, like, you know, other states in India, or Supreme Court. The number of the cases is not important. If situation improves at the national level, objective of the all international human rights and international treaties to strengthen the national judicial system. If national judicial system is strengthened, the objective of the International Criminal Court and other related bodies will be achieved. So with this, these are the things which I had in my mind, which I wanted to share with you, all of you, with from this study. And so we need to take note of these things. We never need to consider the number of the cases, 8, 5, or 6. We have to ponder over who has, how these cases have brought before the International Court, what are the logic, and then we need to assess about the functioning of the International Court. For me and for many of us, I strongly believe this is the great achievement international community has achieved on 17th July 1998 by adoption of the Rome Statute. At particular time, nobody thought in 4 years, 60 ratification will be coming. No one, even William Savas was here. So he was the first person who written a book also in the on the Rome Statute. So in the same building, next building, he said, I have a doubt how long it will take to get the 60 ratification. Rome Statute, I believe that it will never come into existence. But in 4 year times, Rome Statute has got the 60 ratification. It means there is a faith, there is a respect for the international judicial system and particularly International Criminal Court. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.